Chapter 1, Too Good to Be True. The doctor was having another of his funny moods. Donuts, he shouted as though giving the answer to a very important question. I'd only just walked into the TARDIS control room, and of course I hadn't actually asked him anything. What? I asked wearily. Donuts, the doctor repeated. Why is it, Romana, that we never seem to have enough donuts? Travelling through time and space is hungry work, you know, and we've run out. Again! I'd found that it was best to humour the doctor on these occasions. The TARDIS food machine is perfectly capable of approximating the flavour and texture. Pah! The doctor interrupted. It's nowhere near the same. You can't have cookery by machine. Where's the panache, the élan in microcircuitry, It provides healthy, vitamin-enriched alternatives, I reminded him. And that's another thing, Romana. The doctor pulled one of his indignant expressions. What if I don't want to eat healthily? Sometimes, you know, it's good for you to have something bad for you. I knew there'd be no point in questioning the doctor's logic, as he only makes these sort of statements to be irritating, so instead I gently suggested that if he wanted donuts so badly, he should try baking some himself. It's not the same if you have to bake them yourself, he replied sulkily, adjusting his long, multicoloured scarf. Well, what about K-9, I said. You could ask him. Don't be ridiculous, said the doctor. Me? Training a dog to bake donuts? And besides, I've already tried, and he always uses the wrong sort of jam. At least that explains why his servo motors have been so sticky recently. I strolled over to join the doctor at the console. So, where are we going? The doctor blew on his hands before operating the randomizer, as though trying to coax some money out of a fruit machine. Somewhere in the universe where there are a lot of donuts, he declared, and slammed down the materialization lever. And then, with a wheezing, groaning sound, K-9 trundled in, his nose completely covered in strawberry jam. The scanner shutters parted with a low hum, revealing a leafy, luxuriant garden with neatly trimmed hedges, well-manicured lawns, and topiary sculptures. A distant fountain twinkled in the clear, bright sunlight. Ooh, look, said the doctor. Terribly green, isn't it? It seems peaceful enough, I observed. Doesn't look very donutty, though, muttered the doctor. I suppose a quick mooch wouldn't hurt. What do you think, K-9? Identify term mooch, said K-9. For some unfathomable reason, K-9's vocabulary bank failed to include any colloquialisms. Either that, or he affected not to understand them out of an innate sense of superiority. I often suspected that K-9 thought that he was the one having the adventures and that we were his companions. Mooch, saunter, gad about town, explained the doctor, straightening his coat. Or to put it another way, K-9, walkies! At this, K-9's tail waggled excitedly. We emerged into the gardens, our footsteps crunching on the gravel pathway, K-9 whirring at our feet. The air was cool and heady with orange blossom. Muscular marble statues gazed down at us with unseeing eyes. Ahead, the path led to a plush expanse of lawn and a country mansion in the Neo-Georgian style. Aha! Earth-like atmosphere, normal gravity, observed the doctor, sniffing and bouncing on his heels. Too good to be true, almost. Rather gauche, if you ask me, I replied. The mansion and its surroundings epitomised a sort of corporate ideal of conspicuous affluence. I would say it's rather gauche, yes, agreed the doctor. And then he halted in his tracks, one hand raised. Hello? Look! Aliens! A group of about a dozen creatures were jogging breathlessly across the lawn towards us. There were some humans, some Morestrans, and a couple of Sheltonaks, as well as a species with leopard skin I couldn't identify, all dressed in fluffy blue bathrobes. I could not help but notice they were all considerably overweight, their arms and legs quivering as they ran, their faces flushed and shiny with the exertion. Hop, hop, hoppity, hop, no pain, no gain, no pain, no gain. At the head of the group hovered a cylindrical robot barking out instructions in an overexcited drone. Its head consisted of a revolving dome with large round lamps for eyes. We watched as the joggers heaved their way past us, each wearing an expression of intense concentration, as though attempting to stay alive through sheer optimism. Eventually they disappeared from sight, the huppity-hup exhortations of the trainer robot echoing in the breezeless atmosphere. I turned to the doctor, who had adopted his usual boggle-eyed expression. "A world of fitness fanatics," he muttered bleakly. "You know what this means." "No, what?" I asked him. "No donuts," he pouted. "It's going to be all carrots and celery, and if there's one thing I can't stand, Romana, it's celery." I sighed. "Ah, we might as well find out where we are." "Vita Novus, darlings," declared a rich, plummy voice from behind us. We turned to see a large, pink-skinned woman squatting beside a hedgerow as she prodded at the earth with a small plastic spade. She wore the same style of bathrobe as the joggers, accessorized with pink bunny slippers and a floral headscarf. She gave a delighted squeal, reached into the ground, and emerged with a dirty round tin. She prized open the lid to reveal a dark brown chocolate cake. "I know it's all awfully naughty doodah and all that, but you know what they say, dear, if you can't have a bit of cake, then what can you do?" "Delighted to meet you," said the doctor, grinning his most toothy of grins. "I'm the doctor, this is Romana, the chap down there is K9, and you are?" "Bing, Sibella Bing," said the woman as she helped herself to a slice of cake. She gave a sigh of ecstasy with the first mouthful. "Oh, I needed that. Tuck in, my precious darlings, tuck in. Plenty for everyone, even the metal dog thing." The doctor reached for a slice. "How kind. Nothing like cake to pass the time of day, eh? Reminds me of the time I was at the Antoinette's. Lovely cook they had." Sibella barely had the time to smile between mouthfuls. She struck me as a woman who had once been very attractive and who tried in vain to hold back the passage of time through a combination of makeup and, dare I say it, inflation. Nevertheless, there was something utterly charming and guileless about her. "What about you, dear? None for you," she said, thrusting the tin in my direction. "Well, then again, if I had a figure like yours, I'd try to keep it." "No, thanks," I said. "Tell me, what is Vita Novus?" Sibella swallowed. "An exclusive health resort. The most exclusive. So outrageously exclusive, you need to own half a planet just to look at the brochure." "And you're here to, lose weight?" I asked delicately. "Well," I thought, "hang it, why the dash not? Half the golf club have already been here and won't stop singing its praises. And clearly this place works. They all come back as slim as breadsticks, all buffed and gleaming with good health. Those dreadful bores, though, you know what these health freaks are like. All evangelical. Since I lost weight, this, and since I gave up alcohol, that. Never any fun anymore." She paused for a ruminative portion of cake. "You go to a restaurant," she continued, "and it's all, no, I couldn't, but please don't mind us, B. You go right ahead and kill yourself. Makes you feel guilty for having an after-meal mint." And so Sibella Bing buckled under popular opinion and thought if one can't beat them, one might as well see what all the fuss is about. "And the chocolate cake?" I ventured. She grinned. "Well, I was fighting a losing battle, so I thought, dash it. Why not consort with the enemy?" Then she laughed, narrowed her eyes. "Have to be careful, though, my darlings. They can see everything." "What?" "Everything," whispered the doctor. "No, they have eyes and ears everywhere," whispered Sibella. "Everywhere?" whispered the doctor. "Everywhere," Sibella repeated, "keeping tabs on the guests, making sure no one gets out alive without paying." "Do not move," barked an electronic drone, and quick as a flash, Sibella slid the bottle into her robe as the trainer robot floated menacingly through the air towards her. "Sensors detect an illicit concentration of cocoa-derived substances." Sibella offered up the cake tin, which was now empty save for a pile of brown crumbs. Sorry, I had a brief spasm of weakness. Unauthorized ingestion not permitted, buzzed the robot. Calorific intake must be monitored. Guest designate Bing to transfer to treadmill 15. Sibella gave a reluctant sigh as the robot ushered her away. See what I mean? They rule us with a rod of steel, she said. Catch you later, my darlings. Guest designate Bing demonstrating insufficient rapidity, said the robot, cajoling Sibella into a jog. Hop, hop, hoppity hop, feel the burn, feel the burn. We watched as Sibella flapped her way up the incline towards the mansion. Beta Novus, new life, the doctor mused. Something very odd about this place, Your Honor. Do you feel it? I shivered. Now you mentioned it, I had the strangest feeling. We were being watched. Then I realized. The statues. They could contain listening devices or closed-circuit cameras. Something she was saying, I said, about people not getting out alive. I think she was joking, but at the same time... The doctor nodded. Intriguing, isn't it? I think we should pay them a visit, he said. And we began to walk. At our heels, Canine's motors revved into action. One problem. She said we'd need to own half a planet to get in, I said. Oh, that won't be a problem, smiled the doctor. I own whole solar systems. I once won the Arcturan Outer Cluster in a game of interdimensional buckaroo. The first thing that struck me upon entering the reception foyer of the mansion was the overpowering scent of mountain pine. Despite the smell, though, and despite the potted aspidistras and trickling water features, the place felt curiously sterile. Somebody had clearly lavished a great deal of money on making the place look as though a great deal of money had been lavished upon it. Jeweled mosaics filled every floor, marble frescoes filled every wall, and even the important-looking pipes that weaved across the ceiling were made of gold. But I couldn't help but feel uneasy at the thought that somebody had gone to so much trouble to put me at my ease. I say, it's all rather grand, isn't it? Said the doctor, somewhat unnecessarily, as we joined a group of humans and other alien creatures at the main desk. We tried our best to blend in with the new arrivals, but were not entirely successful, as we were the only ones present not to be dangerously obese or dressed in tartan golfing slacks. You know, said the doctor, wouldn't do any harm, would it? A little rest and recreation? Put our feet up for a bit? After all, we deserve a rest, don't we? After all that excitement with the savage mandrels and the CET machine? Doctor, we're supposed to be investigating. Oh, said the doctor. I just thought, maybe a spot of massage, lower lumbar, something like that? Well, they could probably do something about K9's rear wheels. You'd like that K9, wouldn't you? Oh, hello. The doctor and the rest of the group fell silent as an extremely tall, extremely thin, and extremely orange woman strode purposely towards us. There did not seem to be a single aspect of her appearance that had not been calculated to within two decimal places. She wore a swirling white gown, glittering diamond earrings, and as she spoke, she gestured expansively, as though attempting to dry her nails.
Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and polygendered liberals. Welcome, one and all, to the Vita Novus Health Power, where discretion is assured and good health is guaranteed. Here... At the Vita Novus, we pride ourselves on our 100% success rate. Yes, anyone who can afford our, shall we say, not entirely unreasonable fees, will leave thinner, fitter, and happier. Within a few days, and with only a little light exercise, you will be in perfect shape.
Perfect shape, the doctor muttered derisively. I'm already in perfect shape.
Your scepticism is understandable, but it's real, and it works. No matter how indulgent you may have been in the past, you will leave here feeling like an entirely new person.
I wonder what this program actually is, I whispered to the doctor. What are all these people signing up to? The doctor shushed me and pointed to Kana, who was now climbing the final climactic pinnacle of her introductory speech.
They say say, don't they, that beauty is only skin deep, and it's what's inside that counts. Well, maybe that's true, but if your skin is 20 inches thick, nobody will be able to make out what's inside, will they? And you, all of you, have the potential to be slim. Wonderfully, wonderfully slim. You too can be one of the beautiful people.
One of the beautiful people? Pah! Said the doctor. What arrant rot! The orange woman turned to the doctor and smiled, revealing gleaming teeth.
If I may draw your attention to some satisfied customers...
The woman extended a glistening talon towards a queue of humans, Lamuellans and Syrians at the opposite desk. In contrast to our party, all the guests checking out were in perfect physical condition. They had toned, slender bodies, bright, clear eyes and burnished complexions. Each smiled with contentment. The desk attendant pinged a bell on her desk and they shuffled forward in perfect unison.
And to think, a few days ago, they were just like you.
It's incredible, I breathed. Incredible, agreed the doctor. Affirmative, incredible, added K9, because this was his adventure too. But how, may I ask, is it done? Said the doctor, approaching the extremely tall and extremely thin woman. Hello, I'm the doctor, by the way, and I hope you don't mind me saying so, but you're a terribly orange lady. The woman shot the doctor a scathing look, then flicked her eyes towards me like a snake searching for a field mouse. For an instant, I thought I saw a hint of fear and suspicion in her expression. But then it dissolved into a well-rehearsed smile.
I am Dame Montserrat Carner, a pictual Varenthesis, and I am the proprietor of this establishment. Welcome, it seems. We have some new members. The doctor, did you say you were? And your charming lady friend?
Romana, I said. Carna looked me up and down.
Romana, what a delightful name. And may I say how thrilled I am to see someone so... How can I put this? You're not exactly a typical candidate for weight loss therapy. They are normally more...
Spherical?
What we would term... Inertially challenged. Perhaps there's some other service you'd like us to provide. I mean, a pedicure, perhaps, or a neck rub?
No, I smiled. I'd just like to look around, if that's all right.
Of course. Of course, nothing would give me greater pleasure. You are representatives of some publication, I take it, here to do a feature on our facility?
The doctor nodded. Yes, that's it. We're researchers from the, well, actually, I'd rather not mention it. It's all very hush-hush and below board. Let's just say it's a well-known guide for the space traveller on a budget. At this I couldn't help but give an exasperated sigh. Carna seemed to believe him, however, and clapped her hands. One of the trainer robots whooshed to her side.
Burndroid 43, will you show the new arrivals to their suites? I will be personally taking the Doctor and Romana on a conductor tour of our premises. You understand, don't you? The special tour, the one I've told you about before.
The robot nodded, then whirled over to the new arrivals and, with an enthusiastic hoppity-hop, conducted them down the hallway towards the lifts. Dame Carna peered down her nose at K9.
And you have some sort of, computer that looks like a dog. And what is written on his side? K9. Oh, a play on words. How ingenious.
He's our recording device, explained the doctor.
I see. How deliciously whimsical for you. The long winter evenings must simply fly by.
With a twirl of her fingers, Carna indicated that we should follow her. We proceeded down a series of corridors, passing guests clad in bathrobes and floating burndroids, but never escaping the all-pervasive aroma of pine. I paused at one door and peered inside to see dozens of strange alien life forms wearing portable headphone sets running on the spot on row of treadmill machines. There were scampering pakhars, lolloping lermans and staggering blagulons, all wide-eyed with exhaustion and gasping for dear life. The doctor boggled at the joggers. This is your weight loss therapy?
Cardiovascular work is merely an introductory warm-up. It's necessary that subjects lose any excess bodily fluids before the main process begins.
What is this main process? I asked. Sounds awfully clever. Karna smiled as she led us further down the corridor.
All in good time. Now, if you'd like to step this way.
She gestured towards another featureless door, which swished open to reveal a wood-panelled room, empty save for some padded chairs and a coffee table strewn with brochures for the health spa. The doctor shambled into the room after me. For some reason, the doctor's always been incapable of walking through doors naturalistically, with K9 trundling doggedly at his heels. Then the door swished shut and we were alone. I tried the door. Doctor, she's locked us in. What? Said the doctor. He dug out his sonic screwdriver and set to work on the door. The cunning old sly boots, he said. What is she up to, I wonder? Ha! I shivered with apprehension and tried to distract myself by reading one of the brochures while waiting for the doctor to get the door open. I don't like the sound of this process she was talking about, I said, as I leafed through pages of glowing testimonials and dramatic before and after transformations. Sibella wasn't joking. It looks as though everyone who's anyone has visited here at some point, presidents, pop stars, philosophers, evolutionary biologists, tired TV producers. Doctor? I looked up from the magazine to discover that the door was open and the doctor and K9 had disappeared. I sighed. I was always telling them not to go wandering off. No doubt within a few minutes they'd be in grave mortal peril and would require me to come and rescue them. Corridor outside was silent and deserted in both directions. But that was impossible, I thought. There was no way they could have got away so quickly. Particularly not K9, who was never exactly fast on his wheels at the best of times. At one end of the corridor, one of the trainer robots buzzed into view, spotted me, gave an astonished yelp, then bobbed back the way it had come. I then noticed that the door opposite had swung open. Inside was nothing but darkness. Doctor! I called. K9? Are you in there? Suddenly, I was shoved forward into the gloom, and the door swished shut behind me, plunging me into total blackness. I reached out and felt my way over to the nearest wall. My fingers touched some wood panelling that felt damp, cold, and slimy. As my eyes adjusted to the darkness, I realised I was in a small room containing a massage table, and in one corner, what appeared to be a steaming metal vat, from which was emanating a briny smell and a squirting, flopping sound. I yanked at the door, but it wouldn't budge. Silently, I cursed myself for leaving my sonic screwdriver in the TARDIS. Then a voice shouted from outside.
Romana, dear, please enjoy your complimentary seaweed wrap.
As Karna's insane laughter died away, I turned to look back at the metal vat, where green steam was rising out of some bubbling mud, and where, to my horror, a frond of black, oily seaweed had emerged from the mire, to be followed by another frond, and another, which slithered malevolently across the floor towards me. Complete makeover.
I turned to hammer on the door, but found that it wasn't there, as it had suddenly swished open. Momentarily blinded by the light, I staggered out into the hallway, my heart thudding in double time. The door swished shut, trapping one of the fronds of seaweed. It clenched and twisted like a hand, and then withdrew. Blinking to clear my eyes, I discovered the identity of my rescuer. "Romana, my poor darling," exclaimed Sibella Byng, throwing her arms around me and giving me a hug that felt as though I'd fallen inside a large, comfortable sofa. "I was so worried. I thought something had happened to you." I clambered out of her cavernous embrace and regained my composure. "I'm terribly grateful," I told her. "There's something in there, something very wet, very alive, and very, very homicidal." I could hear the seaweed monster slapping itself against the other side of the door in frustration. "Oh, they're all like that in here," breezed Sibella. "Everyone's trying to kill you in the name of keep fit. I've just had 10 minutes on a cross trainer. Let me tell you, darling, that is simply no picnic in the park. Which reminds me..." An ominous buzzing sound came from one end of the corridor, and two burn droids floated around the corner, their heads revolving like glitter balls. They were searching for something. "Sensors, detect, unauthorized personnel." "We have to get out of here," I said. "Come on, Sibella Byng, run!" I hurried down the corridor, Sibella heaving herself after me. Another buzzing alerted me to the fact that some more robots were approaching from the opposite direction, and so without pausing to think, I activated a door-opening mechanism and dived through, tugging Sibella behind me as the door swished shut. We found ourselves in a stairwell, the concrete walls and rusting handrails, a surprising contrast to the opulence of the health spa. I put a finger to my lips for silence, and Sibella held her breath. We listened as the burn droids buzzed outside the door before they gave up and hoppity-hopped away. Sibella sucked in a grateful lungful of air. "What's happening?" "Dame Montserrat Kana wants me dead, which can only mean one thing." "What?" asked Sibella. "She has something to hide," I said. "A secret she is prepared to protect at any cost. Obviously, she must have thought that I was some sort of investigator sent to find out what it was. Well, so now we know there is something to investigate." "Do we?" asked Sibella, forcing a hopeful smile. "Nothing signifies guilt more clearly than someone locking you in a room with a homicidal seaweed wrap." "Ah, I see," said Sibella. "So that's what you are, is it? An investigator?" "Oh, no," I smiled at her. "I'm just having fun." We started down the stairwell. "What do you mean, fun?" said Sibella. "Oh, you know," I said, "where I come from, we feel we've had a wasted morning if we haven't saved at least 3 planets before breakfast." "Do you know what they serve for breakfast here?" said Sibella. "We get a bowl of what appears to be pencil shavings and rabbit pellets, then..." "Shh," I said, and she stopped. "Listen. What is it?" gasped Sibella. "Some sort of underground machinery," I said, as we continued further down the stairwell. As we descended, I noticed that the air was getting warmer and stuffier, and the rumble of engines was growing louder. "What do you think it is?" said Sibella. "Air conditioning? The boiler? Or maybe where they do the laundry? I think it mentioned something in the brochure." The stairwell ended in a basement, which was piled with litter and disused plastic containers. A single fire door led the way ahead. "Let's see, shall we?" I said, slowly opening the door. "I have a feeling this may be Dame Kana's secret." The sound of the machinery became almost deafening as the door slid open. We stepped through into a vast chamber, half submerged in darkness, lit by flickering neon tubes. Immense gold-plated pipes and ducts twisted across the floors and walls. Bursts of steam hissed out of vents, and the blades of huge cooling fans swooped and swooped overhead. To one side, an imposing computer bank, its indicator lights flashing, its dials flickering, its spools whirring.
Then the stench hit me. It was like the smell of roasted meat. And then I noticed the drainage channels that crisscrossed the chamber floor. They were caked with dried blood. There was an immense, thunderous crash, and I turned to see that Sibella had fainted. I cradled her head as her eyes fluttered open and she drew in some breath. "That does it," Sibella said. "From now on, sweetie, I'm going on a diet. From this day forth, nothing but cucumbers will pass between these lips." I helped her back to her feet, and we made our way deeper into the chamber. An untidy swirl of cables led me over to a series of sarcophagus-like caskets, standing upright against one wall, each large enough to contain a human being, and an extremely large and extremely wide human being at that. I walked up to one booth and peered tentatively inside. The walls were padded with a honeycomb of a spongy material I didn't recognize. The booth was fitted with wrist and ankle clamps, designed to make sure whoever was inside stayed there. "What is it?" whispered Sibella in awe. "What's it all for?" "The main process," I said, as the dreadful realization dawned. "Don't you see? This is how they work their miracle. This is how they make people thin."
"Yes, my dear. So glad to see that you're impressed."
Out of the shadows stepped Dame Karna, flanked by two of her buzzing burn droids. Before either Sibella or I could react, the robots swept through the air towards us and gripped our wrists in their icy metallic pincers. Sibella stared at Karna, open-mouthed in disbelief.
"What are you up to?"
Karna smiled and, with an upward sweep of her arms, exclaimed,
"Rejuvenation! Thanks to my groundbreaking tissue reduction technology, no one need ever suffer from obesity again. It's all perfectly straightforward. The subject is placed in one of these slimming booths, and their cellular body mass is broken down, filtered, cleansed, processed, then ultimately regenerated in an entirely revitalized form."
"Vita Novus," I breathed. "Of course. New life. You will leave here feeling like an entirely new person."
"And during the process, all surplus material, all the fat, all the blubber, all the cellulite, together with any infected or damaged tissue, is discarded, leaving a pure, healthy creature. Renewed. Replenished. Reborn."
"What do you do with it? What do with what you take away?"
"The excess, you mean? Naturally, anything contaminated is disposed of. But apart from that, nothing goes to waste, I assure you. All the excised body fat is synthetically reconstituted into our own exclusive line. Beauty products."
"Beauty products?"
"Face cream, hand lotions, essential oils."
"But that's utterly abominable!"
"Really? I prefer to think of it as recycling. And you must understand, all the subjects of the weight loss process submit themselves willingly. And are more than delighted with the results. Everyone goes home thinner, fitter, and happier."
"I knew it!" exclaimed Sibella. "I knew it was all some vast conspiracy of thin people." I looked Karna in the eye. "But you do so much more than that, don't you?"
"Oh, I must admit the process has been finessed, shall we say? It's not enough to change bodies. You have to change people's minds as well. Give them a healthier outlook on life. Mens sana in corpore sano."
"What was that?" said Sibella. "Mens sana in thingamy doodah? Corpore sano means a healthy mind in a healthy body." I turned back to Karna. "And that's what you do, isn't it? Give people healthy minds."
"We find it necessary to... oh, what's the scientific term? I can never remember it. Oh, yes, yes, yes. re-motivate their cognitive priorities. After all, we have a reputation to consider. We like our customers to spread the good news, to drum up more business. And we need influential friends in high places if we are to expand.
Brainwashing, I said. You're turning them all into zombies.
Yes, added Sibella, and they have absolutely no conversation.
She's turning people into fitness bores, I said. No individuality, no personality, just everyone exactly the same.
But that's what people want. They want to be attractive, to feel confident. Everybody wants to be one of the beautiful people, don't they? I mean, fat people are so miserable. They can't wear nice clothes, they can't step out of doors without being stared at. Many of them can't even step out of doors. They are a drain on valuable resources. Environmentally unfriendly. I mean, they're so slow and unwieldy. Have you ever tried to get past one in the street? And there's a question of hygiene. Not to mention heart disease, diabetes, arthritis.
But surely the answer is for people to eat properly, to exercise.
Too difficult. The thing is, my dear, if fat people had any willpower, they wouldn't be fat. They wouldn't be able to resist the urge to eat eclairs all the time.
Excuse me, said Sibella. I actually have a glandular problem.
Oh, spare me the excuses. I have low self-esteem. I had an unhappy childhood. It's a glandular problem. I'm the Tithonian ambassador. The truth is, chocolate just tastes far too nice. And I was overweight once.
You?
I know it's hard to believe, isn't it? But once I was just like you. Sibella Bing. I lived for cream slices and Black Forest gatto. Every waking minute I was cramming something sweet and sticky into my face. My weight ballooned to such an extent that I was in danger of being reclassified as a minor planet. I loathed myself. But then I decided to buck up my ideas and do something about it.
And so you developed these slimming booths.
I invested the life insurance from my third husband and the alimony from the fourth into diet technology. And now I have not a single ounce of fat on my body. I am absolute peak physical condition. I am perfection personified.
I resisted the temptation to point out that she was also bright orange. I knew my best chance was to keep her talking. In my experience, there is nothing a villain likes more than to have a good boast. So I asked her, but what about all those people who don't want to be thin? What about them?
Yes, my dear. There will be a few iconoclasts, which is why I have made sure we have sympathetic ears in all the major galactic governments. I have a vision, you see. The health spa is merely the beginning. Soon there will be similar centers on every major planet, processing the entire population. And as for those who do not wish to cooperate, they have the option. They could choose to die.
So that's your brave new world, is it? Mass slaughter?
A slim universe is the happy universe. What's so wrong with that? Now, what am I going to do with you two? You're much too dangerous for me to permit you to live. I don't know who you are, and I don't particularly care. But your deaths must look like accidents. Burnroyd 21.
The robot holding my arm saluted.
Take Romana to the Whirlpoolarium. And as for Sibella...
Leave her alone, I shouted. She has nothing to do with this.
Oh, I don't doubt it. But still, she knows too much. What she would do if she'd been paying attention. No. I have an amusing idea what we might do with her.
Connor leaned forward to instruct the other burn droid. I couldn't hear what she said because at that instant, the one clasping my arm turned its lamp-like eyes towards me and gave a threatening hiss. I had a sensation of dizziness and could hear my heartbeat thumping in my ears. And then everything went silent. When I came to, I was wearing a striped Victorian bathing costume and immersed in warm, cloudy water at the shallow end of a circular swimming pool. I could barely see anything for the fine mist that hung in the air. I swam over to the near side of the pool and perched myself upon the tiles at the edge. So this was the Whirlpoolarium, I thought. What a silly name. As the drizzle faded, I could make out walls adorned with ornate mosaics of emerald sea creatures. And at the far end of the perfectly round chamber, a single closed door. There was an ominous gurgling, and I felt the sickening vibration of a massive engine grinding into life. The water in the pool began to churn and froth. I lifted myself out of the water and backed away, watching the pool with growing apprehension. The water wasn't merely swirling. It was forming into a whirlpool. The surface rippled and eddied, the liquid being driven up against the sides, forming a concave depression in the middle, a textbook example of centrifugal force at work. I pressed my back against the smooth, slippery wall. As long as I wasn't in the pool, I would be safe, or so I thought, until the engines clanked up a gear and the level of the water started to rise. Within seconds, it was sloshing at my feet. Knowing I only had a few minutes left, I decided my best chance was to get to the door, so I made my way around the chamber, keeping close to the walls. As the water reached my knees, it took all my strength not to be pulled down by the swell. I waded the last few grueling meters over to the door. But it was no good. It had been locked from the outside, and I couldn't even call for help, as even my screams would have been drowned out by the surging, roaring rush of the water. Soon, though, it wouldn't just be my screams that were drowned. The water was now waist deep, and my fingers scrabbled uselessly at the walls. The current was too powerful to resist, and I found myself being dragged under. And narrow escapes. Then it struck me what I should do. A trick I'd learned at school on Gallifrey. A trick that had got me out of hot water once before on Skaro. If Dame Karna wanted me dead, then that would be what she would get. Summoning my last reserves of energy, I stiffened my muscles. Exhaled the remaining oxygen from my lungs and willed my heart to stop beating. It worked. I regained consciousness to find myself lying on a hospital trolley being wheeled through the pine-scented corridors of the health spa. I opened my eyes and was almost blinded by the flash, flash, flash of the ceiling lights sweeping past. I allowed my lungs to reinflate and felt my blood tingle reassuringly into my veins. Everything seemed to still be in working order. Someone had dried my hair and put me back into my jacket, knickerbockers and boots. Being careful not to make any sudden movements, I lifted my head and glanced around. One of the hovering robots was pushing the trolley. I could hear it muttering, hoppity-hop, hoppity-hop, to itself under its breath. I waited until we were about to turn a corner, then swung myself neatly off the trolley and ducked behind a wall. Fortunately, the burn droid was too engrossed in its huppity-hupping to notice. Without making a sound, I headed back down the corridor, not sure which way to proceed. But then I heard a piercing, shuddering scream. Sibella! I headed in the direction of the scream, hoping against hope that it wasn't too late. There was a second yelp, much closer this time, and I realized the noise was coming from an unmarked door. I slammed my palm against the activation panel, the door swished open, and I leapt inside. At this point, you might expect me to describe the sight that greeted me. However, for reasons of decency, it is probably best that I draw a veil over the precise details. Suffice it to say that I found Sibella lying naked on a massage table at the mercy of one of the burn droids brandishing a needle, and that as I entered, she cried out at the top of her voice, "Romana, help me! I'm being actu-punctuated!" Thanks to some quick thinking and the judicious use of a bottle of massage oil, I managed to overpower the robot and then, more importantly, I located Sibella's bathrobe draped over the back of a chair and handed it to her to cover herself with. "Well, they think I'm going to tip. They're very much mistaken," puffed Sibella as she gingerly heaved her considerable bulk off the massage table. "The indignity of it, I feel completely discombobulated." "Sibella, we have to get out of here," I told her, "before somebody realizes we're not dead and raises the alarm." "But where shall we go?" asked Sibella. "We'd never get out of the grounds. In case you hadn't noticed, I don't have what you might term an athletic physique." "We're not leaving," I said. "It's up to us to stop Karna."
"Oh, well, just as long as we don't have to go to that dreadful place downstairs."
"We don't have any choice," I said. "You don't have to come with me. If you want, you can wait here. I'm sure there'll be another robot along in a..." "No, no, no," Sibella interrupted. "That's quite all right. I'll stick with you, if you don't mind. I've had quite enough of being manhandled left, right and centre." I popped my head around the door to check the way was clear, and then led Sibella to the nearest lift. It was my guess that Karna used the lifts to transport her victims down to the basement, presumably whilst they slept, so that they could wake the next morning none the wiser, but in the possession of only the one chin. I pressed the button, and after a short hiatus, the lift arrived. Sibella joined me in the lift, and I pressed the button marked basement. "Oh no," said Sibella thoughtfully. "Bit of an adventure, this, isn't it?" "Yes," I said. "I'd like you to know that I'm finding it all very exciting," she added. "Oh," I said. "Apart from the people attempting to kill me, of course," she continued. "But other than that, it's been quite exhilarating." "Has it?" I said. "Yes," said Sibella. "You know, nothing like this ever happened to me before. I've always been what you might call tentative in life."
"Really?" I said.
"Well, not one to put myself forward," she said. "Always worried what people might think, but seeing you so self-assured and clever and daring, I'm going to be taking a leaf out of your book. From now on, I will be a whole new Sibella Bing." "Ah," I said. "And I can't wait until I get home," she grinned. "I'll be dining out on this story for months, assuming I get home, of course. I wish I was fearless like you." "Do you want to know a secret?" I said. "What?" said Sibella. "I'm not fearless. To be honest, I'm rather frightened." "Oh, and I thought it was just me," said Sibella. "You know, telling me that isn't actually very reassuring." We emerged from the lift into the underground chamber, which was, to my great relief, deserted. The caskets remained empty, and the computer screens continued to display flickering static, which confirmed my suspicion that Karna only employed her secret lair during the hours of darkness. "Do you mind if I wait by the door?" said Sibella, as I sprinted over to the computer banks. "Keep lookout or something?" "Hmm?" I said, my attention fully occupied with the computers, as I removed an inspection panel and examined the nest of twinkling microcircuitry inside. Yes, keep watch, Sibella. Very good idea." I tugged at some wires. The mechanism was sophisticated, but nothing I couldn't disentangle with a few minutes of uninterrupted concentration. "Romana, what are you doing?" said Sibella in a theatrical whisper. "Just making a few changes to a few of the settings." I shot her a quick smile. "Are you sure you don't want to be thin? This is your last chance." "No, no, definitely not," Sibella shook her head. "Thing is, you see, Karna was wrong. Fat people aren't all miserable. Well, some of us are, but then so are lots of people. It's just that thin people always assume we must be unhappy. You can see it in their eyes, a sort of disgust and pity.
But what I look like, that's part of who I am. And I don't want to change that because of what others might think. I want people to look at me and go, now there's a girl who knows how to have a good time. So you don't want to be one of the beautiful people? I asked her. No, there isn't a thin me inside trying to get out. There's only the gorgeous, fabulous and generously proportioned me. I returned to the circuitry. If I could find some way of inverting the focus range of the regeneration matrix, but how to do that without depolarizing the vector generator? Of course, the answer was staring me in the face.
So distressingly predictable. Now, step away from the machine.
I put my hands up and straightened up as Dame Karna strolled into the chamber armed with a bulbous laser pistol and accompanied by two of her robots, one of which had pinned Sibella against the wall. Sibella's eyes widened with terror. Karna jabbed the laser pistol in my direction and glowered.
Move away from the controls, my dear, or you will be disintegrated, or vaporized, or atomized, or... This gun has several settings.
Smirking my most impudent smirk, I walked away from the computer bank. I thought you said you wanted my death to look like an accident, I said.
That was until I discovered that you don't exist. No identity papers, no insurance details, no relatives. No one to notice if something dreadful happens to you. And something dreadful is going to happen to you very soon indeed. Burndroid 19!
The remaining Burndroid whizzed over to me and seized both my arms in its pincers. I winced with agony as it pinned them behind me.
Throw her into the slimming booth!
With an eager cry of hoppity hop, the robot tugged me across the floor. I attempted to struggle, but it was no good. Its grip was impossibly strong. It twisted me by my wrists and shoved me into one of the upright caskets where clamps snapped over my wrists and ankles, locking them in place. What are you going to do to me? I spat at her with a courage I didn't feel. You said it yourself, I don't need to be slimmed. I'm fine as I am.
Well, now there's the interesting part. You see, with this computer, I can program the booth to remove not merely fat tissue, but any percentage of your body weight of my choosing. I choose 100%. There would be nothing left of you. Save, of course, for the various beauty products reconstituted from your body fat. Romana face cream. Romana hand lotion.
I watched in horror as Dame Karna made her way over to the computer bank and trailed her long, manicured fingers over the mass of buttons and levers, selecting the switches that controlled the power for her slimming machine. One by one, she flicked the switches and, with a terrible hum, the power was engaged.
Burndroid 66, place Sibella into the other slimming booth. She bores me. We can claim there was some sort of freak accident. She was wearing metal body piercing, and that caused the machine to overheat. Oh, something along those lines.
Shooting me a look of helpless desperation, Sibella was dragged over to the slimming booth beside mine and thrust inside with a heavy thump. And with a metallic clunk, clunk, the clamps slammed into place around her wrists and ankles.
Now, time, I think.
Dame Karna tapped the last few commands onto the computer keyboard, then raised her arms as though in supplication and cried,
"Let the weight loss begin!"
And let diet. And as Karna reached for the final control switch, a deep,
brown voice called out of the darkness. "Hello there! We were wondering where you'd got to, weren't we, canine?" Kana turned, her face twisted into a snarl of anger, her pistol hand trembling. Her two robots whirled through the air to intercept the two new arrivals.
"Doctor! Canine!"
I sighed in relief. "Where have you been?" The doctor emerged from the shadows, grinning broadly. I could make out the red glow of Canine's blinking eyelights at his heels.
"Well, now, there's quite a long story attached to that," he said with an embarrassed cough.
Canine whirred forward. "Dr. Master was engaged in commercial transaction in the facility's souvenir outlet."
"What?"
I cried. "All this time and you were in the gift shop?"
"Yes," said the doctor. "Look, before you complain, we brought you this."
He reached into his coat and drew out a large, fluffy, pink and blue towel. I couldn't believe my eyes.
"A towel? You bought me a towel?"
"I knew it," said the doctor. "I knew you would prefer the scented bath salts gift basket, but Canine did insist."
"Incorrect," said Canine, his ears whirring. "I recommended the gift basket."
"Oh, never mind that," harrumphed the doctor. "What have you been up to, hmm?"
"Oh, hello, Sabella. Terribly nice to see you. Been keeping well, I hope."
"It's Dame Kana," I said. "She wants to get rid of obese people everywhere, whether they like it or not."
"What?"
The doctor was appalled. A snake-like smile flitted across Kana's lips.
"What can I say? I have high aesthetic standards, and there's nothing you or your cubist Daxon can do to stop me."
"What?" said the doctor. "You? I mean, you're a very attractive woman, probably. Or at least you were once, but now you don't so much resemble a human being as a satsuma."
"Careful, doctor," I advised him. "What is the point in being good-looking if everyone is beautiful?" continued the doctor, flapping his towel in irritation. "Where's the uniqueness in that? Hmm? Devalues the currency. Beauty isn't about how much you weigh or how much makeup you plaster on your face. It's in the eye of the beholder. And that's your problem, Kana. You don't have a beholder. You surround yourself with robots. You don't know what it is to be adored, to have someone who loves you for who you are. And if you have to manufacture beauty, then it ceases to be beauty, because beauty is not about artifice. It's about the idiosyncrasies of nature. Don't you agree, Canine?"
"Affirmative," chirped Canine, extending his nasal blaster. "Though the modernist movement of the early 20th century, and in particular Le Corbusier..."
"Not now, Canine," I said. That was typical of Canine. He would pretend not to know the meaning of the word mooch, but he would quite happily give a detailed lecture on the history of post-industrial architecture at the slightest provocation. The doctor pulled himself up to his fullest height to peer down his nose at Kana, who still had her pistol trained towards him. "And once you've started," he said, his voice booming with righteousness, "where do you stop, eh? Once you've got rid of all the fatties, what then? Ugly people? Short people? Gingers? People with the wrong coloured eyes? People who use a dessert spoon for eating soup? The Welsh?
Anything to bring greater harmony to the galaxy. It's all for the greater good. People will thank me eventually."
"Ha! Eyewash," the doctor snorted. "Flummery and flimflam. You don't want people to be happy? Not really, you're just scared. Scared of people who don't think the way you do, who don't live their lives the way you want them to."
"Do I have to remind you, Doctor, that I am the one holding the gun?"
Yes, well," the doctor said, treating Kana to his wide-eyed, doubtful expression. "I think I should tell you, Dame Kana, that what you are doing isn't right, you see, and I'm going to have to stop you."
"Stop me? You have a talent to amuse, Doctor."
Kana reached for the control switch.
"Burn droids 1966! Seize the intruders!"
Two burn droids drifted through the air towards the doctor and Canine, their pincers raised. Kana hit the switch and a powerful throbbing filled the air.
"Now, Canine!" shouted the doctor, darting behind some ducting. Canine trained his nose blaster on the nearest burn droid. "Engaging defensive mode," he announced, firing a red laser beam at the revolving robot. With a piercing bang, the burn droid attacking Canine exploded in a shower of sparks and rattled, spinning across the room.
The Doctor exploited the distraction by diving out from behind the ducting, brandishing his towel before him like a matador, and as the remaining burn droid raced through the air towards him, he gave a victorious shout of "Olé!" and whipped the towel over its dome. The burn droid whirled about blindly. "Hoppity, hop, feel the burn, hoppity, hop, no, pain, no, gain." It span erratically across the chamber, bouncing off the pipes and ducts, before ricocheting towards Kana. She dodged smartly to one side, and it smashed into the computer bank, causing it to erupt in a billowing ball of flame. With an insane scream, Kana staggered away from the fire, her eyes glistening with tears of rage. With the computer bank destroyed, there would be no way of deactivating the slimming booths. "Doctor!" I struggled to make myself heard over the din. "Quickly! Over here!" The Doctor rushed to my slimming booth and tugged at the clamp securing my wrists, but they held fast. "No!" I shouted to him. "Don't try to free me! Get into one of the booths!" "What?" the Doctor boggled. "I reversed the focus of the regeneration matrix!" I shouted. "What?" said the Doctor. "You mean everyone inside a slimming booth stays the same while those on the outside..." The Doctor gawked, then leapt into a slimming booth as a terrible storm rose up from nowhere. Sections of pipe and ducting rattled in the wind, then broke free from their moorings and crashed to the floor. The computer banks toppled over, breaking into a thousand smouldering pieces. Kana stood in the middle of the chamber, her hair whipping across her face, her chest heaving with malevolent fury. She screamed over the howl of the wind.
"What have you done, you blundering fool?"
Then, as realization dawned, Kana attempted to reach one of the remaining slimming booths, her gown flapping like the wings of some hideous creature of the night. But the force of the wind was too great. Her heels slipped, and she was sent sprawling across the floor. For a moment, she lay still. And then, with one last desperate effort, she crawled forward onto her knees, reaching out with her skeleton-thin hands.
"My dreams are great, love."
And I watched in horror as the slimming process took effect. Her back arched in agony, her hands clenched as though she was attempting to clutch at the air with her long fingernails. Then, before our eyes, she dissolved, her orange skin breaking down into sparkling, swirling motes of dust which rapidly faded from sight. And then, as suddenly as it had started, the storm faded away to nothing, and the throb of the engines fell silent. "She," Sibella stammered. "What happened? Where's she gone?" "She's gone," I said. "She's fulfilled her ambition. She's slimmed herself out of existence." I lifted my chin to feel the gentle breeze and sunshine upon my cheeks one last time as the Doctor rummaged through his pockets for the TARDIS key. He eventually dug it out and unlocked the door to the police box, and K-9 trundled eagerly inside. I was about to follow him when I heard the sound of somebody wheezing in dreadful agony and turned to see Sibella Bing jogging towards us. She stopped, got her breath back, then thrust a large brown paper bag into the Doctor's hands. "Oh, my precious darlings, I got them for you," said Sibella proudly. "The canteen robots hit a couple of snags with the recipe, but I think they pulled it off in the end." The Doctor delved into the bag and took out a sugary donut. He bit into it experimentally, swallowed, and grinned with delight. "Absolutely delicious," he proclaimed. "This is the most donutty donut I have tasted in all of my lives." The Doctor tossed me the bag, and deciding I deserved a treat, I took one. "So, Sibella," I asked her, "ready to go home and dine out on your adventures?" "Oh, not just yet," she smiled. "For some reason, the burn droid seemed to have put me in charge of the whole shebang." I looked at the Doctor, and he gave me a confidential tap of the nose. "So, I've decided to make a few changes," Sibella continued. No more treadmills or diets or exercise programs. No. From now on, Vita Novus is somewhere people can come to enjoy themselves, put their feet up, read a book, and drink themselves into a stupor on champagne. It sounds marvellous, I said. I've already got them turning the gymnasium into an ice cream parlour, and the canteen now sells chips and burgers and really, really big chocolate cakes. Really big ones? Asked the doctor. Vast, said Sibella. You could go into orbit around them. In fact, that's my plan for the rest of the afternoon. A good plan, agreed the doctor. Well, goodbye, Sibella Bing. Oh, and a present for you. He handed her the large pink and blue towel. Look after it. You never know when you might need it again. Ha ha! And with his laughter hanging in the summer air, the doctor ducked inside the TARDIS. I gave Sibella a parting smile and then followed him into the console room, ready to depart for our next exciting adventure.